Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Welcome back, everyone, to the Nerdcore Podcast, a podcast for reviews, movies, and talks that nerd shit. This is episode 379. Holy crap. Are we close to 100, Brad?
You mean 400?
Wow. My brain just farted.
Math is hard.
We've already know this.
We've been through this.
We've been through this way many times already.
Let's just move on. Hi, everybody. We're live for some reason.
Yeah. Brad, I told Brad I'm trying something out today.
Okay.
And Brad was like, okay.
I don't know. Sure.
I don't really know what's going on, but we hope everyone's having a good day. As always, the nerds are going to hear the host show along to my wonderful co-host, Young Yoda.
What's up, everybody? And Timber, you're spectacular.
You're spectacular. Yes, yes, yes. We hope everyone's having a good day.
Especially the mustache. That mustache. I don't.
Yeah. I'm trying things a little bit different today. We are live for everyone, but the podcast episode will be available early to patrons only. So after this show is done, there ain't no VOD. It's just the audio up on the Patreon, and then on Anchor tomorrow in the morning, of course. So we'll see what's up. Okay. You know, we'll see what's up.
Sure. All right, Scooby.
Yeah, we're just trying things a little bit different today. What's going on, Luis? What's going on, Partis? Thank you guys for coming
Big
in
Papa.
The chat.
Big Papa. You call me Big Papa.
So Big Papa, Luis.
He's a true player.
Timber, everybody's in here. Awesome. Today we're continuing on our review for horror month. And today we're looking at Brad's second pick, which is
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yeah. So
I gotta admit, this horror month is going far better than the last year's.
Yeah. I've only not liked one of them.
But, I mean, it's not riding the bullet.
Compared to like the four that I didn't like last time, or six, I think, because we did a lot that month.
We did.
There was a lot going on that month with crap movies that we chose. There was like, I think it was only like two that I liked that month.
Well, there was Riding the Bullet, I think Wolf Creek, Conjuring,
Hereditary,
which I didn't like.
What's the other one, Brad? We had Jennifer's Body.
Ooh, that was good.
Yeah,
I did like that one.
And
I don't think Megan Fox gets enough praise for that.
No, she does not. I can't remember what Aiden's pick was, but I know that I liked Timber. Yeah. What's it called? Second thoughts about Exorcist. Yeah, I'm having a lot of second thoughts about watching Exorcist.
I've seen Exorcist before, you know, but I didn't find it that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's the whole 80s stylistic like effects. So the girl, I don't know, like it's cool her head spins and shit, but you know, the makeup and all that makes her just look like a doll.
Partis, no. Last year for horror month we had guests. So what we do is when we have a guest for the whole month, they get to pick.
They get to choose.
They get to choose, my friends. They get to choose. So it's actually gonna be really odd doing these restructuring for the next couple of months, because of course our December month is always like our same one, but next month we actually have to choose an actual theme to it, because our plan was November would be the Denis Villeneuve month.
And then it worked.
Because December. Dune would come out in December. that's not the case anymore. So now we have to restructure some stuff. So we'll see what we get to talk about next month. But that'll happen next month. December will be our specific director that we're going to be looking at. And then January is my pick.
For Kurosawa month three.
Would not be opposed to that. Would not be opposed to that. Would not be opposed to that at all. That's always one that we can just pull out of the gate.
Kurosawa, go.
No, month three.
He's my favorite Pokemon.
Yeah. I'm just, it's just, what's it called? I just wore my nighttime verse in case. Just kidding. Okay. So the way this is going to work, guys, this is our spoiler review of the film. If you've not watched the film, then we'll give you guys a spoiler warning. If for those of you who've never listened to the show, this is your first time coming on here. What's it called? Let's go ahead and get some stuff out of the way.
Welcome.
Every month we have a film that we do. Every month we have a theme to our films that we review. And when we review them in spoiler territory. So if you've never watched the film, I will give a spoiler warning. If you don't care about the spoilers, you can go ahead and keep listening. If you do care, then you'll stop after the spoiler warning. You'll mute us or just put us down just a little bit so you can give us that lurk. But with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get into this. So Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark was released last year, I believe. So if you have not watched Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, then this is your chance to go ahead and click off here or stop listening or stop watching, whatever it is. What's it called? If you do care about spoilers, then I advise you to stop here. If you don't care about spoilers, then you can go ahead and keep going. Either way, how it goes, your spoiler warning is in effect in a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah. Murr. What was the one that we did last week? Oh, for the whaling. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You saw it in the cinema. Nice, nice. So, Bradley, without further ado, our trusted, what's it called? Source, right?
Our only source coming to us from the interwebs, Wikipedia. Scary Stories to Tell in Dark is a 2019 horror film directed by Andre Ovredal. Based on the Based on the children's book series of the same name by Alvin Schwartz. The screenplay was adapted by Dan Hageman and Kevin Hageman from a screen story by producer Guillermo del Toro, the whole reason I chose this, as well as Patrick Melton and Marcus Dunstan. The film, an international co-production of the United States and Canada, starred Zoe Coletti, Michael Garza, Gabriel Rush, Austin Zajir, Natalie Ganzorn, Austin Abrams, Dean Norris, who didn't really get that much screen time, let's be honest, Gil Bellows, and Lorraine Toussaint. In 2013, CBS Films acquired the rights to the book series from 1212 Entertainment with intent of producing it as a feature film. By January 2016, it was announced that Del Toro would develop potentially direct the project for CBS Films. Ovredal was later set to direct the film, with Del Toro, Daniel Brown, and Grave being among the producers. Principal photography commenced on August 27, 2018, and ended on November 1st, 2018 in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark was theatrically released on August 9, 2019 by Lionsgate. The film received generally positive reviews from critics and grossed a worldwide total of $105 million against a production budget of, you guessed it, because it's a fucking horror film, around $28 million.
Mm-hmm. So either way how we look at this, this was basically
It was a hit.
Success.
Yeah. I mean, and I will say this, and I will always say this, when you put Del Toro name on anything, it sells. It will sell.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look at Hellboy 1, 2, sold. Yeah. Hellboy 3, not so much.
Look at that. Spoiler territory. Kind of like the Forbidden Zone, just less Heston. Kind of like the Zone in Stalker, too. But there's going to be a sequel. It was already announced. Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you saw the ending, it kind of is like, we got to go find our friends. Like,
you would expect it, though, $100 million box office return.
And I really think that this is kind of like, to me, a lot of it was like a PG-13 version of It, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it made good money. It's going to make good money in the sequel.
Yep. So I guess that's your initial thoughts?
I mean, it's going to make money. Like, I see that. Like I said, you slap the Del Toro name on it. It's going to make money. To me, personally, I would have loved to see this as a rated R. They had parts of this that were kind of scary, but it wasn't overly scary. I mean, I really liked the stories that it was kind of tell, but it was like thrown together somewhat haphazardly in ways, and it comes across in the story. So it's not perfect. It's not a perfect horror film, but I think it's one of those ones. It's kind of like, you know, you have those movies you watch in Halloween, like Hocus Pocus, some Stephen King films. This is one of those that you'll watch on Halloween every year.
Well, listening to spoilers and watching a movie is still better than watching Michael Bay's films without spoilers. That fat lady was creepy, 100%.
Ooh, yeah. That was, yeah, especially when she turned into four creepy fat ladies. It's like, yeah, bro, you fucked.
Yeah.
Unless you jump into the ceiling.
This film was, I was not into this film at all. I don't like this movie. I
still better than The Rental.
I like 100%. I like the four I like the individual stories.
Yeah.
I don't like the way that the film is written. I don't like the dialogue that's written in here. It's very
it felt unfinished in a way.
It felt like unfinished in a sense. Didn't
spend enough time on it.
I see Guillermo's influence here, especially the story. It would have been nice for him to have an influence in the screenplay.
Agreed. I gotta say, beautiful movie. There's some of the shots in that, mm-hmm. very beautiful. Like, cinematography was dope. I agree with you, though. This story wasn't fleshed out enough, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like you said, I like the individual stories because I love Stephen King's novellas of his little individual stories. And that's what this kind of felt like, a Stephen King light story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The whole time I felt like this feels like it's trying to kind of break apart from it, but still kind of stay a little bit close to how it felt, which to me, it's a little bit cheap when you try to stick to the formula of another film.
I agree. I did like the humor, though. I like the humor from the kids. That they didn't have as many humorous moments as it. Mm-hmm. But again, you got to remember this has a PG-13 placed on it's top a children's of it, book which too. Is a weight. Yeah. That's a weight to me is when you place a PG-13, they can't go into the jokes like Stephen King's It did.
Yeah. The Scarecrow story felt like it could have been rated R-rated, but they toned it down.
Oh, with the hay coming out. That was one of the scarier moments.
Yeah.
Is when he's turning into a scarecrow.
There's also a lot of choices with like the camera that I felt really odd. Like, what's it called? By the way, guys, anybody who's listening to this, no, I am not white. I'm going to say this word because I'm allowed to say this word. When you see in the card that it says web back, and there's just this really odd camera movement that's done with that. And I'm like,
what was it like the over one? So yeah, you like see
boom. And then again, like, oh, like I was like, what's the point in that? That's a little bit
like
flashing reason.
It's like it kind of hung over for a little too long. Like once you see the word, you get it. You're like, all right, yeah, the racist piece of shit. Like we knew that.
Yeah, I felt like there's just a lot of choices in the screenplay and just the camera. Like the look of the movie is great. I love the look of it. I like the what's it called? Some of the performances I like. Some of them I don't. I love that.
Some of them kind of fell flat, but
I love that that they defeat this monster, but you know, Ramon is still sent out to Vietnam, which is the actual horrors of
the actual horror part of it. Yeah. And they defeated it, but she still didn't get her friends back. Which I was expecting. I was half expecting, oh, she defeated it, she's gonna get her friends back. And it didn't happen, and you're like, ah, all right. Well, that's kind of fucked up.
Yep. So the design of the creatures. Was the really monster, good.
That's where I think Guillermo comes in, and you can see it with the scarecrow, with fucking Jangly Man, which horrified the shit out of me.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Yes.
Well, is that a known horror story in Latin America?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The Jangly Man. Yep.
Okay. I know a lot of these are well known, just fables or horror stories. Because Brenda even told me, like, the spider one. Also, that was disgusting.
What was your favorite story in this one?
Oh. I mean, I'm trying to think. I didn't like the big toe one. I thought that was like, where's my big toe?
Yeah.
I didn't really like that one. I liked the scarecrow one. I liked the spider one.
That lady.
The fucking fat lady, just that was gross.
Just I
think Jangly Man horrified the fuck out of me just because he kept coming.
Yeah, I really like the red spot one. Just the whole design and just the scare factor of the red spot, like.
And coming out. What's really frightening is that can actually fucking happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to see who the
that's probably like tied in my top.
Yeah,
is that one in Jangly Man? And Jangly Man, just because it's like this dude, like when he slams him into the truck, you're like, hey, got him. Then you remember, wait, this dude literally can fall apart and then put himself back together.
But yeah, no, I gotta say the scariest was to me. Like before anybody gets on me, yes, the fat lady was creepy. The Jangly Man is scary. Scary.
And just the one moment that might be the scariest, and it's not Harold the Scarecrow, it's that he turned, you know, the kid into a scarecrow, and that whole moment where just haze coming out of his mouth and he's just out of everywhere, and you're just like, ugh.
It's no. Just a lot of being suffocated by that.
Exactly. Like, and it's just like, he just got his asshole rammed full of hay, probably.
Oh my god. Yeah. So I think like for like a teen adventure film, like this is pretty good.
I mean, for a PG-13 horror, it's not bad. I've seen way worse.
Oh, I've seen worse. I've seen way worse. This falls into my wonderful category of like just didn't care. I was like, I'm going to forget this as fast as I watched it.
Even Jangly Man?
Jangly Man. I will not forget about Jangly Man. I'll tell you that right now. I'll forget about Jangly Man. Jangly Man is living in my head rent-free. 100%. But yeah, I, you know, other than that, I really don't have anything else. But I like I've been saying this whole time, you can tell in Guillermo's influence in here. Like, you know, a lot of people put their stamps as being producers of a film, but don't actually do any producing work on it. You know,
you can tell he had a hand in some of
this. Yeah, I'm telling this like, oh, like Guillermo had a hand in this.
And let's face it, the only reason I chose this movie, because his name right at the top.
Yep. And it worked. It worked to get you to watch it. Yep. I wonder what the second movie will take us. I have a feeling that, and I hope that they explore this, like Ramon coming back with some form of like PTSD to really like explore the horrors of war.
I don't know if they'll do that with a PG-13. They might touch on it, but I don't think they'll go full out like Punisher kind of story.
Yeah. I watched 45 minutes of the movie. I didn't like it. Yeah. I wish I would have stuck with just 45 for me.
Man, y'all be hating. Y'all be haters.
Yeah. It's all
man, good. Man, if you want Timber, we can have a watch along of Riding the Bullet and then you won't say shit.
Yeah, I don't think you want to watch Riding the Bullet.
Yeah, Timber. You want to watch a real horror movie?
You want to watch a terrible movie, bro. Riding the Bullet is bad, bro.
Yeah.
So
then you'll be like, I think I'll finish this movie. Yes.
Yeah, that felt like a chore to watch, bro. That literally felt like a chore to
watch. That one hurt. Like I could have chose any other Stephen King movie, like Carrie or Christine or Pet Sematary, but no, I had to go with Riding the Bullet. Just I was like, you're making me do this.
Yeah, but now you're like, fuck it.
No, now I'm kind of like, I've been watching a few more horrors after The Conjuring and all that. I'm like, not so bad. Like Wailing was good. What the fuck was the one I chose?
Get Out.
Get Out. Get Out was terrific. I didn't hate this one. Like, this is definitely the least best out of what we watched this month, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't like horribly bad.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited, man. I'm excited. You know, next week we're gonna be, you know, watching a film from a director that I've only watched one movie from, and that one movie is the one that he's most famous for. But I want to see what this next one brings. Of course, next week we're going to be looking at Dario Argento's Deep Red, the famous horror Italian director that basically created his own genre of horror, literally named by the color orange. And I don't, you know, it's going to be interesting, but I've never watched Deep Red before, so I'm excited. So, let's go ahead and get some final verdicts here, Brad. What are you going to go ahead and give Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
I'm going to give it like a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10? Yeah. I'm pretty much going to give it the same thing. 7 out of 10.
I mean, it's... I'm sorry.
Yeah, like a 6.
Like a 6. Yeah. Like, which is good for you and my choices. Yeah. But I will say I will probably watch this every Halloween.
Yeah.
It's like one of those like Hocus Pocus. You just throw it on and go like make cupcakes or cookies or some shit.
Stacey, I don't know when you're joking, and I don't know when you're being serious, bro. Like, that's what I love about you.
Me too, Mama Tambien.
Have
Me
you
too.
Watched the Atticus Institute? No, we have not. I mean, wanted to watch Open House. Oh, no.
Oh, Timber caught that.
But yeah. I'm thankful that everybody kind of jumped in here to talk with us about this film, and I'm glad that some of you all stayed after the spoiler warning. So, with that being said, what's it called? This weekend we will have a review of Borat 2.
Very nice.
Yep, this weekend we'll be reviewing Borat 2. Next week we'll do Dario Argento's Deep Red, and we will let you guys know about what our next month will be, because Brad and I have to kind of, you know, brainstorm it now.
Curse Out Part 3.
Sorry, Part 3. Yeah, we'll see. Let's go. During our Borat 2 review, we'll also review Borat 1 since we've actually watched it. So
doubly very nice.
Yep. But Kurosawa Month Part 3. That's great. Show me Borat 1, bro. I'll try before I watch Borat 2.
Are we allowed? There's some scenes in there of just fat man ass. I do not want. I forgot totally about that.
Yeah,
and when that showed back up, I'm just like, there's so much scrotum in this.
Yeah, dude, like,
so I mean, I got a hairy ass, but that's beyond, like, yep. Jesus.
Yep. For those of you who do want to watch Deep Red, it is available on Prime. It's included with Prime, so go ahead and go check that out. But other than that, I want to thank everybody for stopping by. I want to thank our wonderful Patreon supporters that make this show and a lot of the shows that we do on this network possible. You all are wonderful people. I want to thank our associate producers, Cassie and Sarah. I want to thank our executive producers, Grayson Barker, who you can follow at GraysonBarker98 on Instagram, Warlord Hitman, Warlord One Bar on Twitter. And then our wonderful Partis, Jesu Dawson. You can follow him at Partis Jesu Dawson on Twitter and Instagram. I don't know about Instagram. Just Twitter, right? Twitter. You can follow him on there. It's Partis Jesu Dawson, JESUDASEN. Partis Jesu Dawson.
Like it's spelled in the chat.
Yes, sir. And of course, where can they find Shane?
They can follow our friend Shane at twitch.tv/XSRK or on Twitter at @XSRK_.
And you can follow our writers, BrownRice96 on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch. Facebook, I don't fucking know, bro. He's everywhere. Bryce,
all over the place.
Yeah. And I promise Bryce will get to the Terminator films, bro. You deserve them.
I mean, I really want to watch 1 and 2. I don't know about the rest of the fucking things.
That's right. That should have been a horror pick for this month. Because Terminator mean,
that
1.
That would have been easy.
Terminator 1 is pretty horror.
I mean, Terminator 2 far more horror, though.
Yeah. Our wonderful Tony.
Hey, Tony!
At Real Nerdy Dad on Twitter. And as always, thank you all so much for stopping by. We'll see you guys tomorrow. No. Skull. I'll see you guys after this for some Minecraft. And then I'll see you guys on Thursday, hopefully, for Borat 2. But, yeah, we'll see you guys later. As always, I want to thank you all so much for coming by. We love you all so much. Stay safe and watch some movies, guys. And watch some spooky movies. Do that. Ooh. Without further ado, Bradley, send him out.
Right, roll. Thank you for being host as always. Thank you to all our listeners, all our Patreon supporters. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you to all those who joined us live today in chat. I don't know where live, but whatever. It's cool. So thank you, guys. Love you. And I guess just to end the show, I will say 2020, your mother sucks cock in hell, and leave Jeff Bridges alone. Young Yoda out.
Leave him alone, damn it.